Hey, 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 closet busters and bold move makers. It is time once again for Life Uncloset. So I want you to gather around because it is time once again to kick down those closet doors of your life. We're here to escape our BS, explore our fears, and elevate our self-expression. I'm your host, Rick Clemons. I'm the bold move expert and that coming out guy who's going to take you to the party, the pulpit, the wake, and back to the party of living your life uncloseted. So come on along with me and grab hold of yourself and get ready to step out, step up, and step into facing your fears, making your bold moves, and living life without apologies. Now let's get to the show. Hello, Life Uncloseted family. It's time once again for a, well, what I hope is a episode that helps you come out of your closets, live your life without excuses, without fears, and to be unapologetically who you are. I'm so excited to have you here because sometimes we find ourselves going through our life, being who we're meant to be. And the thing that's holding us in the closet the most, well, most of you have been through it like, oh, but what if? I'm not sure if I should. And then before you know it, years have passed and years have passed and years have passed, just like mine did. And at 36 years old, I came out of the closet. But what are those things that hold us back? Well, for today's guest, they've been involved in some pretty amazing stuff. They're a TV and radio host. They're an actor. They do voiceover talent. And I just want you to think about all that media stuff. And when you're in the media, it can be a hit or miss. Like, hey, if you say you're gay, you could be banished. Maybe not to your face, but then suddenly the gigs don't start coming in. Or maybe they're like, oh, we want you, but they're not quite sure how frequently they want you. Well, we're going to unravel all of that. But one of the things that I love about today's guest is their own journey of coming out at 46 years old, like for all of us, has opened their eyes to many, many things, not only about the world and about our culture, about our own LGBTQ community, but most of all about himself. And I'm so glad that Ron reached out to me and said, hey, I'd really like to be on your podcast. I'd really like to open up and talk about this sort of stuff. And I can tell you all are in for a treat because we've been already chatting pre-show. And I can tell you, he's got some stuff to share that's going to really, if you're struggling to find your way through, he's going to share how he found his way through. So without further ado, Ron Thomas, welcome to Life Uncloseted, man. So glad you're here.
Thank you so much, Rick. Thank you for having me here. Thank you. It's a joy to be here.
I love it. You've got that. I can tell you got that radio voice. I don't know that you're talking with it right now, because I think all of us kind of switch it a little bit when we know we're going to do our voiceover or anything
yes,
like
this is
that.
Ron Thomas. Hello. Hi. How are you?
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Everybody says your voice is different when you're doing podcasts. I'm like, no, it's not. I'm not as animated with y'all. Y'all bore me. No, I'm kidding. My family, my friends, you don't bore me, but there's something about as soon as the mic comes on. Yes. I'm like, hey, I'm the host. You know, I gotta have this.
It's like
energy.
Automatic.
It is automatic and it's not fake. It's just here's who we are. So, but you know, one of the things that intrigued me when you reached out was like, you said, I really want to share. I really want to share and see if I can help somebody else. Right. And so I've already alluded to it in the introduction, you know, 46 years old. That's when you came out. You happen to be a man who's an interracial man. Yeah. And I can't help but think that everything I kind of alluded to in different ways was probably some of the stuff that kept you in the closet. So why don't we talk a little bit about what was like the fears you had and what finally was like, I just got to go be me. Where did that all start for you, Ron?
Well, I think it all started because, again, I am an interracial man. And also, I didn't mention too much of it because I try not to dwell on it, but I come from a very religious household. So I'm sure a lot of people have, you know, come from that kind of a background. And so what I was taught was, you know, gays are bad. You're going to die. It's an abomination. So I had to get over that and get past that. And that was a struggle to, you know, figure out, you know, what I'm doing and is this for me? And I really want to be, like you said, I really want to be me.
And I think sometimes when we want to be me, it can be really hard because we have those thoughts. Okay, what if I am me, then what? I know for me, that was a lot. I mean, I came out at 19. Everybody that listens to this podcast on a regular basis, they know that story. And then I went back in and came back out. But right. I had a lot on the line. And not that I'm special. Everybody has a lot on the line. When you finally say, this is who I am.
And one of the things I want to like really share with the audience right now is how I choose to share who I am and be who I am. You do it your way. No, you don't have to have two podcasts. You don't have to be on TV. You don't have to like be writing books. You don't have to like be completely open. I want everybody to know you do it your way. It's one of the things when I'm coaching my people, I want you to come out on your terms, your way, because this is how you're going to start living life your way. And it starts with how you choose to come out. But it's so
That's so important, man.
Yeah.
It is. It's very, very scary. It's really scary. And, you know, you have to, especially like, I mean, even now just talking to you, it's bringing back, you know, feelings, but,
Well, I mean, just when you mentioned Ron, like, you know, I was raised in a religious family. I got to tell you, it stirred up stuff in me because that doesn't go away. It does not go away.
Right,
you know,
right.
And every time my parents and I have a conversation, and I love them dearly, and, you know, I want them to be able to be who they are. And I think that's the key.
Right.
Go. If that's your values and beliefs, I want you to go be that. But I also want you to give me the gift to let me be in my values and beliefs in the way that I want to be. And when mom and dad will, you know, the last couple of times we visited, they're like, would you go to church with us? I'm like, no, I'm good. I want you to go do what you want to do. I used to make a huge issue of it, Ron, because I used to be an asshole about that stuff. I'm still an asshole when it comes to certain things. Okay.
No,
I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. But I was really like, no, I was an asshole about church. Like, that place fucked me up. It ruined my life. And now I've learned, okay, that's all been said. So the easiest way to address is no. Hey, no, don't really feel like I need to do that. I want you to go do it. Go do what it, you know, makes you feel good, and we'll see you in a few hours. You know,
right?
And it's so interesting when you show up that way. I'm sure it still hurts them. I'm not going to say it doesn't.
Right.
You know, because they have their belief system, but I don't think they still understand within me. Even the asking that, it turns up the turmoil again.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's kind of what you're alluding to too, is like, you know, here you were in that space, and it doesn't matter what we do. So many things, it can be that one little thing and it just turns it all back on again.
Right, right. Exactly. And I think what you said is so on point, and it's just, you know, trying to get past that and navigate that. And it's so funny that you mentioned that, because like one of my favorite shows is The New Queer Eye. And I was watching an episode, and it was the one, I'm really into it. So it was the one where they were doing when they were helping someone that was a church, she was a church or as a church minister. So they were redoing her community center. And I think it's Bobby is the guy with the blonde hair that's leaving. He would not go in that church. Like when the other four went in, he stayed outside, and they're like, hey, what's going on? He's like, nope. Not coming in. And it took him a while to just, you know, he had just like us, same, you know, religious scars and trying to get through that. But it was, I could really relate to that. So it's a lot trying to get past that.
Well, and I think it's not only in church.
Yep.
There can be other places. It can be circles of friends. And the circles of friends may not have anything to do with any religious affiliation. It can be a work environment where it's like, oh, you know, where you were surrounded by people who constantly, you know, were kind of doing the playground stuff, like, oh, you know, those faggots are, you know, oh, they're so, you know, this swishy or whatever, right? All of these things are the things that we as LGBTQ plus individuals constantly have to face. And even in this day and age where the rhetoric and everything is, you know, for our trans brothers and sisters, and it's not far behind that, you know, there's too many people pushing, like, if we can do this to the trans, we can do it to the rest of them. And it's a little frightening right now to be able to think that. So as you navigate that yourself, how do you keep yourself centered around, but I'm still being me, I'm being myself, I'm allowing myself to be who I want to be? How do you navigate that for you?
Well, actually, it's what you said earlier, Rick, which is, you said something about being yourself, doing your journey your way, you know, not judging other people and what's going to work for you. So that's the same way I had to come up with something when I first started my journey, which is, how is this going to work for me? and just stick to my core of who I am. You know, like you said before, you said earlier, you know, not judging other people. Everybody does it their own way. And we're not judging, you know, that's what we don't want to do as a community is judge. We want to accept each other as brothers and sisters in the LGBTQ plus community. So I just really at my heart stayed at it my way. You know, what is going to be the best way for me? Maybe it might not be loud and boisterous like someone else. That's not judging either one of us, but it's just the way that it would work for me. So I'm more of a quiet person. So that's how I do it. You know, I let the people that I need to know, and then I'm not kind of broadcasting it, but it doesn't mean that I don't believe that some people they need to broadcast it. In my field, it'll probably come up when it does, and I'll just deal with it when it does. But I don't like everybody has to do it their way. We can't judge each other.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that often happens. I've talked about this numerous times, but I feel like it's definitely worth repeating. For a community that so does not want to be judged, we can be a very judgmental community. And I'm talking within our own community and externally.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm okay with judging people outside, like, oh my gosh, you're throwing, you know, knives at us for being LGBTQ, but then you're going and sitting in your church pew and praising Jesus and you're perfect. Okay, I'm going to throw some judgment at you, like, you don't get to play that game. But within our own community, it hurts me to see, and especially as a gay man, because I've witnessed this numerous times in the gay male community for sure. And I know lesbian friends of mine have said it's similar. The shade we can throw at one another because you don't have the right abs, or you don't have this, or you don't drive the car, and all these different things. And I'm sure as an interracial man, you have come up against that in ways too. Like you're just not accepted, or, you know, you're seen as some objectified sort of thing. Now, I'm gonna say, I've seen your pictures, I've seen you, and there is a hey, I don't know if he's white or black, he's obviously mixed, but even that can be something that can get judged really quickly in our community. Like, oh no, you know, just get on any app. Oh, I only like white, I only like this, I only like that.
I had to learn all that, Rick. It was amazing.
Yeah,
I'm still learning.
Well,
yeah,
and the world is ever changing, you know.
I know.
It's an interesting thing. I've been doing some videos and stuff about the guys who say I'm a side, and can you just accept them? They're a side. They don't want penetration. They don't want to do this.
Right.
So quit shaming them. Quit side shaming people. It's like quit bottom shaming people. Quit, you know, all these different things like. This is what they enjoy, you know? And I've been very candid and open in my conversations on both these podcasts. Like, even as a guy who, you know, I just turned 60 this past year.
Hey, congratulations. I'm still
I made it that far, you know? Thank you.
Yeah.
But even my desires have shifted, you know? Right. I used to be like, I mean, we won't go super into detail, but I'm like, okay, I gotta say I was pretty much predominantly a top. That's who I was, right? And now I'm kind of like, that's a lot of effort. I mean, that's just a lot of effort. Can we just like, you know, and so I'm finding the whole side conversation very interesting because I actually kind of just enjoy it. Yeah, let's just, you know, cuddle, fondle, you know, get each other off. Okay, I'm not going to say I don't, you know. Okay, so now I'm going to have to say this is an X-rated conversation now. But I'm going to play with an ass. I love playing with ass. But do I really want to just like go fuck every time? No.
Yeah.
But yet that can be shamed so quickly. Oh, really? In fact, a friend of mine who is, and he and I have these conversations all the time. He's African-American.
Yes.
He is very well endowed. So you're like anywhere that he goes, I mean, you know, he's been to, you know, some gay beaches, gay nude beaches, but gay beaches, and he loves to wear his Speedo. He looks great in a Speedo, but you can't hide what's in the package, right?
Right.
The objectification he gets from that, he goes, all guys want me for is for that. And he goes, I'm to the point where if that's all you're in this for, move on.
Right.
Because I'm so much more. And I think this is that challenging space of what does it mean to be ourselves when the rest of the world wants us to be something for them? And that's why most of us stay in the closet.
Well,
I know,
you
I
know
just
what?
Did a weird juxtaposition
No,
from the size of his package
I'm
to,
so no,
you
you know
know.
what? I'm so glad you brought that up because I feel like this is so interesting to me that you're bringing these. It's like the perfect time in my life because, first of all, when you mentioned about side, I just learned about that like a month or two ago because, again, it's a journey for me. And when I realized, like, I'm like, I was reading in one of the apps where the person said they're a side. So I'm like, what is that? So I started doing the research. I'm like, oh, wait a minute. I think I'm a side. I think I'm more like a side. And so one of the guys that I was actually called someplace or whatever, and I called about something else. We started having a nice conversation. So he's like, oh, you're new in town. And okay, well, I'm gay too. And then I said, he said, well, I'm a top. Is that a problem? And I said, well, I think I'm a side. He disappeared. He vanished.
Wow.
The last thing
Well,
he
because
texted me was, yeah, the last thing he texted me was that, well, you're so good looking, but yeah.
and
He
I get it.
disappeared.
If that's what somebody wants, if that's what they're looking for,
Right.
but then that tells me that there may be a drive that's all they're looking for. Like
Right.
I just want to ask to pound. That's just what I want,
Right.
right? And that's
Right.
fine. I'm not going to knock
That's,
that
yeah.
either. But
No.
be upfront about that and don't go disappear because you don't want to have the real conversation. I would much rather somebody say, "Hey, good for you, Ron, that you're aside. That's not really what I'm looking for. When
Right.
I get to have intimacy and sex," most people won't say intimacy because they don't even know what that is. That's a whole nother training. So many gay men, love you all dearly. Please don't hate me, but so many gay men need some training on what's intimacy, right?
Yes.
But when that becomes okay, that's what I'm here for. I'm sorry, guys, and you know, lesbians have their own way of saying this too. I have balls enough to say this. Just
Right.
be that. I mean, I guess maybe because I've gotten so used to just this is who I am, I'm going to say it. Again,
Right.
folks, not in every situation. I know where to like show up, but I still show up in a way that's really authentic. I may
Right.
not say, "Oh, you know, get have some balls, you know, in front of my teammates at work," but I might say, "You know what? Instead of hiding what you really want to say, I want you to have the beauty." I actually said this in a team meeting a few weeks ago. I wish everybody would have the beautiful audacity to say what they need to say and know it's a safe haven to speak. This is a safe haven. Now, that's my way of saying grab yourself by the balls and just say what the fuck you want to say, right? But I also know how to do that in a way that's like, I've even had coworkers say, "I've listened to your podcast and then I hear you at work. And even though it changes slightly, you're exactly that same person because you're just authentic. You're authentic." And I'm not saying this, folks, to blow up my own ego. I'm trying to set it as a groundwork of when you show up authentically and you are who you are, the world sees it. They may not
Well,
like
that's
it, but they
right.
see it.
Well, that's what you mentioned earlier, and that's what I agree on. Like when I start the journey, I really try to before it got to be too crazy and too confusing for me because the journey, like you said, is not easy. So I really had to establish in the beginning who am I and what am I and what am I doing. So once I had at my core, okay, this is who I am, that's what I just try to keep at my core, no matter what's going around me that's spinning out of control. I think it's important to really keep who you are at your core and don't let anybody try to change that. And that's what I've been doing. And so even, and it's so funny you're mentioning these points because like when I went for a dating app and you fill out the profile and all that, this is way back when, because now the dating app has kind of changed a little bit, but it gives you like a summary or an analysis of who you are, like what kind of a person you are. When I finished filling out the questions and answering them, the summation was, you are very unique to the gay community because I know who I am, and it's like you mentioned, I need intimacy, I need love. I'm not judging. I'm not judging anyone else, but I know myself. I'm not a player. I'm looking for someone like, for a relationship. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm not looking to be a player, but I'm not judging other people. But I think whoever you are, that's listening to you now, whoever is trying to figure this out, you just need to decide, like you just said it earlier, just be upfront and just say, hey, this is who I am. This is what I'm about. And then And that's it. And then that way you can kind of stay true to who you are.
I think you just said it so eloquently that it makes me realize that at the core of all of this is truly to be who you are.
Yeah.
It's that simple. And I
Right.
realize it's really hard for all of us to be who we are because in that space, it comes with fear. It
Yes.
comes with excuses. It comes with everything under the sun that says, let my imposter play full out and just try to be
Right.
something I'm not. And for
Right.
too
To
many
fit in.
years, yeah, too many years, I played the let's fit in, all that sort of stuff. And it wasn't worth it to me.
No.
But yet I did it because, okay, this is what I'm supposed to be. This is how I'm supposed to do it. This is what I'm supposed to be in the world, right? Until it wasn't working. In fact, from day one, it really wasn't working. I mean, from the moment I
Right.
came out at 19 until I came out at 36, it wasn't working. I mean, those who've listened know I was, this is where I'm an asshole. I was never faithful to my wife throughout that whole time, but I played the game. Everybody, knew it and saw it, and I've admitted it numerous times. And I will own, like, oh my God, you're such a a-hole or SOB because of that. I get it. I totally get it. But I also will say, without me having gone through that, I don't think I could have gotten to where I am and been able to bring guests like you to this space and to this conversation of when you get to be who you are and you
Right.
give yourself full permission for that, that's when you actually start living.
Right. It's so true. I couldn't say it any better, Greg. I couldn't say it any better. And I think that's so important. And that's what, I've tried to stick to. And it can be like you said, you don't want to fall. It's easy to become an imposter because things around you, like you mentioned, are telling you you're supposed to be this way or that way. But I just knew in the beginning I had to stick to who I am. No matter what, just stick to who I am and this is how I am. And it might not be for everybody, but I'm not judging you, and I ask the same from you. Don't judge me.
But isn't it interesting that it always comes down to what we care other people think? And yet, and I'm going to say this really flippantly for emphasis, I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. But yet I do. Even as I said those words, I'm like, yes, I do. Yes, I do. But here, the degree of fuck I give these days is so much less than it used to be. I give a fuck if it's going to hurt somebody else. And even that's kind of a gray line. Like, okay, if you say what me being gay is hurting you, please define. Because if you're not in my bedroom, it's not hurting you. There's no way that what I'm doing in my bedroom is actually hurting you. But I think this is what people miss sometimes is you can not give a fuck. I mean, I love Mark Manson's book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And I don't even know how many times I've read it because it's always like, ooh, boom, yes. But I feel like when you start realizing the fuckery is what really screws you up, then go, okay, how can I care but not allow it to keep me pinned in or in my closet, whatever that closet is? And I think as gay men and LGBTQ people, since it's two gay guys here talking right now, I think we can allow our being in the closet to follow us our entire life and hold us in closets. I mean, let's kind of go professionally here. You do voiceover, you do radio, you do TV. How many times, Ron, have you gone for those auditions? Or are you like, okay, I'm going to pitch and I'm going to go for this? Yet some little piece of you is like, oh, but I wonder if I'm good enough.
All the time.
Right. And that's a
All the
closet.
time.
That's a closet holding us back. And I'm not saying it's tied because you're gay, but there is some pieces of once we realize how much hiding our gay truth held us back in other areas of life. This podcast would not exist had I not come out of the closet. And
Right.
doing what I do here was never even on the radar, but I love doing it. I enjoy doing it. And I know the impact it has, and it's something that that brings me great joy. So why wouldn't I do this? And sometimes just the joy of being ourselves is the thing that we miss. Like, what great joy does this bring us?
Right. And because of what you do, mm-hmm. I found you. I mean, mm-hmm. if you weren't there, I wouldn't have found you. And we wouldn't be on this podcast like we are now. I mean, I'm a big researcher, and I was searching and searching. And that's been my goal, is to just be more, move forward in the LGBTQ plus community. And also just on my journey, just do things, you know, in support of that. And I was searching for different podcasts and looking, where would I fit in? And I found you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I think this is such a beautiful way to like kind of come full circle.
Mm-hmm.
Is to say that not only did you find me, but you've found yourself.
Right.
Not because of me. You started to find, and the thing that's beautiful is the moment we find ourselves, that mm-hmm. first time, is the moment that we started to open the door to finding other things that we need to find within ourselves to truly exactly. start to feel free and be free to roam around the world the way we want to roam.
Right. Exactly. And it's so freeing to do that. Yeah.
It is so freeing. So I'm curious, before we wrap up here, Ron, you know, it's been a few years since you started this journey. Mm-hmm. What is one of the things that you feel you've most had the pleasure of experiencing? I'm not talking a guy, or it could be that, but like the pleasure you most enjoyed.
I wonder what rating this show is going to be. Already.
I don't know. It's definitely.
I think it's been interesting.
Well, it is interesting, because here's the thing. Even what I just said, like, okay, what's the greatest pleasure? And, it could be sex or whatever, but I want to know what the best life orgasm is you have experienced to date since coming out to your truth for you. I know for me, it was the moment that I sat in my car
mm-hmm.
right after coming home from vacation. Mm-hmm. We had been in one of the gayest places in the world, Provincetown, Massachusetts. We had been there for, we had been there for family week. So it was a gay family vacation. Coming
That's
home.
On my list of where I want to go.
Oh, it's a beautiful place. I love it. Yeah. Highly recommend it. We come home. We'd been there, the whole family, two daughters, mm-hmm. husband, had a beautiful week there. Mm-hmm. I walk into work. 15 minutes later, I'm sitting in my car, laid off.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the greatest life orgasms I had was the orgasm when I said, I am done. I am mm-hmm. never working for somebody else again, which now is a lie, because I work for somebody and I really love what I get to do. but that was 2006. And it wasn't until 2016. No, it wasn't even 2016. Mm-hmm. It's 2024. So going on 5 years. So it would have been 2019 that I started working as a contract for my current employer.
Okay.
So I had all that time to experience the orgasm of building my own business and building my presence as a podcaster, as a book, writer, as a blogger, all of these different things.
Right.
And that was my greatest life orgasm, is going, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm going to come out of the closet and become mm-hmm. an entrepreneur. So I'm curious. Mm-hmm. And I know that's kind of a big question that I just asked you, but like, if you could pinpoint something that's been a really amazing orgasm in life since you came out, what do you think it would be?
And keeping with the show, trying to make sure I keep it, like you said, like not, you know, try to keep it family. I would just say, if I really want to be totally honest, it's just, if I can just say this, it's the dating of guys. Can I say that?
Mm-hmm.
That's been the biggest.
You can say whatever you want to say here, man. You don't have to mince words.
Okay, thank you. But that's been like, you know, because at first, you know, you like all these years, I knew it inside. But then I thought, once I made the steps to come out, like, okay, you know, because I dated women, I was engaged like 3 times. Now I realized why the engagements never worked. But like, I thought, okay, suppose I kiss the guy and it doesn't happen. Like, suppose I feel nothing. And so I remember my very, you know, this has been a 10-year journey for me. So I remember my first date, you know, found him online, I was living in Connecticut, where we were going to go to eat, and I remember that first kiss, and it was like, and I'm like, suppose it doesn't work, you know, suppose I don't feel anything. But as soon as I kiss him, I'm like, wow, this is, I should have been doing this a long time ago. This is definitely, I'm definitely gay. So that was like my first big kind of orgasm, yeah, to do that, to feel
That's
that.
awesome.
And I
There is
reached
something.
out, and I, yeah, sorry.
No, you
No,
reached
but
out and what?
I reached out to shake his hand. Like I was still nervous. So
Yeah.
we finished our date, we had lunch, and I just said, you know what? I just want to get through the date. I'm not do like I have to be me. I'm not, you know, that's me. So I'm like, I'm just gonna shake his hand, give him a handshake, and then, you know, that's it. And I went to shake his hand. He's very tall, good looking. He's like, is that all I get? And I'm like, well, what do you want? He's like, I could at least get a kiss. And I'm like, okay. And before I knew it, I came in for the second kiss. And then I knew. So that was the big thing for me. Never found another kisser like him since then. It's too bad. My first and the best.
Wow, there's always a first and the best, man. I'm just gonna tell you,
Yeah. Okay.
and
I haven't found another one like him.
then you'll discover other things that are first and best, and then you'll finally go,
Really?
okay, yeah. At least
Okay.
that's my experience,
Okay.
and
Well, yeah, thank you.
many of my friends we've talked about this, like, okay,
Okay.
what was your first and best kiss? What was your first and best, orgasm with a man? What was your first and best, like cuddling or siding or any of that? It's really
Okay.
interesting because it's there. I mean.
We'll have to do a part two or something.
Exactly, but there I can be honest. I'm going to be honest without a lot of detail.
Yeah.
There's only been one guy
Yeah.
that I would say no. I'm going to say, well, there was one guy
Okay.
that, from a sexual experience, all of
Yes.
that,
Right.
I could say had it all going on.
Okay.
But
I'm waiting for that.
that's all
Yes.
he had all going on. He was a good guy, but there was too
Oh.
much other stuff. That's
Okay.
like, oh, no. We could never make this work for many reasons. But
Okay.
man, from a pure sexual energy, like make it happen, all that stuff.
Right.
Okay, there's more than one.
Yeah.
I mean,
We'll have to do.
my man is pretty amazing, so I'm just gonna say that.
Your
My
husband. Yeah.
husband,
Okay.
yeah. But the first guy that I was with, he rocked my world, but it was really interesting because he's the one who ignited the coming out. And then when I met him a few years later, I'm like, still love him, think he's a good guy, but I'm like, really glad that didn't go anywhere. Really glad it didn't go anywhere. Just because I
Yeah.
could see there was, well, we're both okay, so let's go into the
Okay.
cancer signs. We're both Leos, so we both need the spotlight. You can't have two spotlights in one
Okay.
room. They
Okay.
each need the stage, and they fight for that. So
Okay.
But no, it's just really interesting stuff. And I'm so glad that you're on this journey and that you were willing to talk about it so openly about where you are and what you're doing. And
Well, I'm
that's,
so glad you had me, and I mean to,
well,
you
it's
know,
just, it's
well, you know,
interesting,
had me on
Ron.
the
Right. Well, okay. See, now you're starting to play. You like, okay. Well, we can talk about
I
having you on
couldn't
another
do
show. That's a different show, like
We'll do
Dirty
a
Naughty
part two.
Secrets of,
Yeah.
Rick's podcast guest. So, which that isn't
This is the family
happening, folks.
photo.
I'm telling you, no, I don't
Okay.
like hook up with my podcast guest.
Right.
That's a never has
Right.
happened. I can honestly say, folks, that has never happened. I have not ever hooked up
Right.
with a podcast guest.
That's right.
Not putting it
And
out of
I'm
the
not a
realm of
home wrecker
potential.
either. You're a
Well,
married guy, so
yes, I'm a
that's
married
I
guy,
know my
so
boundaries, Rick.
yes. So, well, Ron, thank you for sharing and
Thank
coming from that
you.
perspective as somebody who we could use some of your career stuff, like the insecurities
Yeah.
of doing pod or voiceover and acting and radio and TV. I mean, this is all one big reality TV show. Life is.
Right.
That's what it is.
Right.
But the beauty is every day you're going to be called to an audition in life, and every day you're going to win some of those auditions, and some of you are going to lose, and some of you are going to be going, okay, that part wasn't for me. Like the guy who kissed really good, but everything else was wrong. I just want to
Yes.
invite everybody to just embrace the fact that to truly live your life uncloseted, it's about showing up to the reality TV show of your life and letting it come alive and go on the ride.
That's so
That's what it's
true.
all about. So,
That's so true. And I really enjoyed being here with you, Rick. It was best. It really felt more like, you know, a conversation. It was just like, it just felt so much like a conversation, just like I was getting to know you and just like two friends having a good conversation.
Well, that's what I hope it always is. That's what I strive for in these podcasts. And any of you who are going to want to learn more, please go to the website. You know how to get in touch with me. And just keep going and living your life on your terms, everyone. And thanks for being here and being listeners.
Hey, Life Uncloseted family. Another episode of Life Uncloseted has come to an end, and it is time for all of us to sashay away and go face our fears, make those bold moves, and stand up to living our life without apology. But before you do, I've got a favor to ask of you. Would you hop over to iTunes or Spotify or Podbean or wherever it is that you're listening to this and just give us a little bit of love if you like what we're doing here at Life Uncloseted? Here's what it does. It helps other people find the show. It helps other people get to know what we're all about. And you just might help change life. In fact, if you really want to change a life, we'd love it if you just ask a friend to take a listen and see what they think. So that's it. Love you all deeply. I'm Rick Clemons, the host of Life Uncloseted. And never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping in to living your life uncloseted.